Great to be here and see everyone today. Come together as we worship and partake of the Lord's Supper together. And had a little bit of confusion here getting used to the... I'm working with a new computer this morning and still trying to learn how to use this new operating system. So we had a little confusion trying to get everything set up. Hopefully it'll get me through the lesson and I can do better next week. But if it all goes dark in the middle of the lesson, then that's... maybe we'll go home early. I don't know. But anyway, it's great to see all of you. And I see Miss Clovis here this morning. It's good to see her. Good to see Greg with us again this morning. So we're thankful that we can all come together. Dolores is still home and recovering from her surgery, but seems to be doing well. So we have a lot to be thankful for today. So I'd like to title the lesson again this morning, Building on the Rock. And I had a lesson a few weeks ago on this theme, and I want to come back to it number of times throughout the year, maybe about once a month, have a lesson on this theme. And as we think about this, we're really saying that it's our life that is being built upon Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the foundation for our lives, that in everything we are striving to accomplish, we want to come back to that foundation, and that that is a solid foundation for us to build our lives upon. But if we build upon any other foundation than Jesus Christ, we are going to ultimately fail. As we think about that foundation of Jesus Christ, of course, we want to all realize that everything else in life is going to flow from that and going to be built upon that. So, first of all, we are responsible and we're building our own lives by our relationship that we have with Christ. And we build upon that through personal growth in our life, through study of God's Word, prayer, and relationship with one another as fellow Christians in the body of Christ. And as we build upon a solid foundation of Jesus, then we have a basis for our marriage. When we enter into a marriage relationship, a husband and wife, to love each other as Christ loved the church, and then to build our families upon that foundation, and see our children being grounded in the ways of the Lord, and a loving husband and wife, a home situation that is solid and secure for them to be loved, and to know that it behind all of that is God's love that flows through our homes and our families. And then to the choices that we make in our lives as we are founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. We can choose, like Joshua said in the book of Joshua, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then in our life with relationships that we have with people around us, let your light shine. So I want to stress how important it is that we be thinking about building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives. As we think about that foundation of Jesus, then we are, as we look into the Gospels and we see Jesus in his life as he was here upon this earth, we can't help but notice that Jesus frequently also mentioned how his relationship with God, that it was his Father, and that everything that he was striving in his life to accomplish was the will of God. He always glorified God. He honored God. He acknowledged that he came from God. He was with the Father before the foundation of the world, the glory of the Father. And now he had come to earth, and he would be returning back to his Father. He said in John 17 in verse 5, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." So as we build our foundation upon Jesus Christ, we also want to understand that we are building that foundation upon God, the true and living God. And there is an understanding that we have and a faith in the existence of God and the truth of God, that He is a God that we can know and have a relationship with us in our life, as Jesus teaches us. But also, Jesus also always emphasized the Word of God, that He quoted from the Scripture, and He recognized that His Word was coming from the Word of God. It was not contradictory to the Word of God. He sometimes corrected the false interpretations or saying, "Do you not know that the Scripture says this?" So He always went back to God's Word. And we are going to be looking into God's Word and noticing that the trust and the confidence that we can have there in the Word of God. In Luke 24 and verse 44 and 45, when Jesus was risen from the dead, we remember that He spoke about the Scriptures, that He had fulfilled those in His death and in His suffering on the cross. He said that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. So certainly the Word of God, and Jesus was recognizing the Old Testament Scriptures in those statements. But when we read through the Gospels and we in the book of John, for example, in chapter 16, when Jesus was preparing to go back to His Father, He said that if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you into all truth. The New Testament Scriptures then were inspired through the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles and the other inspired men of writers of the New Testament. So that when Paul was writing in his letters to Timothy, he said, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness." So I think about the foundation of your life and our lives that we want to be building upon, I want it to be clear that what I'm saying is we're building upon Jesus Christ, we're building also upon God and upon His Word. That everything in life is seated and founded upon that solid rock of the foundation of Christ, God's Word, and the true and living God. In doing that, we are laying the foundation, but we really are realizing that God has already laid this foundation. In the lesson that I presented a few weeks ago, I pointed out that there are really four passages in the New Testament that talk about the rock, the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul is writing to the Corinthians there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, he said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So that takes a lot of pressure, I think, off any of us to see that we don't have to lay the foundation, God has already laid the foundation that we are built upon, and that, as he says, though, we are take care how we build upon that foundation, that we can be building with gold and silver and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. We need to continue to always be building upon the Word of God and the Scripture and what the Scripture teaches us about Jesus Christ. And if we add to it or we take away from it, or if we are not careful in our study of the Word of God and we misunderstand or misinterpret and misapply, we may not be building upon with precious stone, but with wood, hay, and stubble of the opinion of man or some false understanding that we have failed to build properly upon that foundation of Jesus. But I want to be saying also that having a solid foundation, that is the beginning, but our life must be built upon that. It would be like a person who went out here and they bought a piece of property, you know, and they laid the foundation, and then years later you come driving by and that's all that's there is the foundation. They never finished that house that they started. So that would not be good either. It might be a great foundation. And God has laid the foundation in Jesus Christ, but there are many people that fail to build upon that foundation into our lives. So I want us to see that this morning in our lesson, we're going to really be talking about God and His existence. That is a very basic subject, and yet it's part of this foundation. That we can't just build our lives without making sure the foundation is there, that it's solid, that we have that core belief firmly in mind that God exists and that He is the one that created us and He is the one that loves us. We can have a relationship with Him. So in our beginning lesson in Matthew 7 and verse 24, based it upon this verse, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, he said, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Jesus is talking about our lives here, that when we hear the words of Jesus and do them, we become obedient to the words of Jesus. We're building our house on the rock. But if we hear the words of Jesus and do not do them, then we are building upon the sand. And ultimately, storms are going to come. The wind, the rains. And that house, our life, is not going to stand before God. It's not going to stand to the test of life that we are dealing with. And so, as you think about that, realize that Jesus is saying, is here you have two houses, and they look exactly the same from the outside. And you might walk in the door and turn on the light, the electricity, and everything looks good. Everything seems to be fine. But the problem is, what is it built upon? What is the foundation underneath that? These are two photos from one of the storms that came along the Gulf. And that house did not stand. I don't know the foundation or what was the problem, but that house began to crumble under the test of that storm that hit. That's the way our lives can end up being if we are not careful listening to what Jesus is saying to us here. So I want us to begin this morning with a basic verse here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 through 6, and especially in verse 6 where the Hebrew writer, he said, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Well, there's two things that the Hebrew writer is saying here in this verse. One is, must believe that He is, that God exists. That's the foundation of life. That's the foundation of faith, to believe that God does exist. But also, that He is a God who wants to have a relationship with each one of us. He talks here about the fact that we are coming to God, that we can come to Him, and that those who seek Him can have a close relationship with God. That's the kind of God that we have presented to us throughout God's Word. A God that exists, a living God, but also a God that cares about each one of us and wants us to know and have that relationship with Him, that ultimately we can be with Him in heaven. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him, as He says. Now, when He is speaking about this God, He said in verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 3, He said, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And that is the aspect of faith that we base our lives upon. We understand that God created this universe. He created this heavens and earth, and that He created us. And there is a purpose to life. I appreciate, Ted, what you were saying this morning, that there is a purpose to life, and the view of life that we have means everything. Do we have a Bible view, a biblical view of life, or do we have a view of life that leaves God out? And this is an issue that every single one of us. Parents, I want to emphasize something this morning with all of you to think about also, because we may think that we are grounding our children here by bringing them to Bible class, by having them in worship services, by reading and praying together in our homes. But I want to remind you that we live in a day and time today where social media, your children are being exposed to all these philosophies of the world that are out here. And that is all the more reason why what I'm saying is so vital and so important, that we are building a foundation of our lives for us and our children to understand the existence of God is at the very foundation core of everything in life. And as He is pointing out here, this is by faith we understand the universe was created by the Word of God. And we think about that. Let me ask you this question again this morning. Which is a more reasonable conclusion for you to have your life built upon? That as we look at this world, as we look at here upon this planet Earth where we are living, there's order, there is function, there is complexity. And we live in a world then that is highly organized. It is a system that the world, the earth, revolves around itself each day. It turns on its axis. It revolves around the sun. each year. There is a system here of orderliness in this world. But this world is functioning where we have life here upon this earth. And there is great complexity in it. When we put those things together, is it more reasonable to believe there is a creator who created this universe and this world and life that we have, or that it all came about from undirected random chance? And I challenge anyone to find something, anything, that we can demonstrate order, function, complexity, those three things working together, that it did not come from an intelligent mind that designed it. And so it is a conclusion that I believe is very reasonable and strong and believable, to believe that there is a creator that created this world. The Apostle Paul in Acts, book of Acts in chapter 14 and verse 17 made mention of this in his speech here to the people of Lystra. And as he was on that first missionary journey, he was talking about God. And he said, "Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." And as you think about that, that's a very simple explanation of God. We might think, "Paul, couldn't you come up with something a little bit deeper than that?" Because he was convincing them of a true and living God. But as you look at that statement that he made, he talks about the fact that there are seasons here in this world that we live in. We are now coming into the beginning maybe of spring. And we're going to be seeing this all over again. And by the way, this happened last year too. Remember that? That we came into spring and then we get into summer, and there are seasons here on this earth. That's part of that order and complexity. And that by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness, God is supplying us our life here on earth through this orderly universe that God created by his word. And it sustains life. It works. It works for all of us who live on this planet. And he said in Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, he said, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So we see that God created this world in a way that we can look at it and conclude that there is a God behind this world that we live in. Now, as we think about the works of God that he refers to there in those passages there, that his invisible attributes, since the things that he has done, we would be able to understand that there is a divine being. His divinity, his divine nature is reflected in this. Think, first of all, the thing that the Bible reveals about life and about the creation is that it had a beginning. It was not eternal. And in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That implies that there's also going to be an end to this universe that we live in. It had a beginning. It will have an end. And that is different than the philosophy of man. When we think about Buddhism or Hinduism and some of the other philosophies of man, They have the belief that life is eternal, that the universe is eternal, and that this is really God, that we are all part of that. We are eternal. We may not be this present life that we have, but there's a recycle, a reincarnation, and keep continuing on out eternally. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible reveals to us that this universe had a beginning. It's going to have an end also because it was created by God. God is not the universe himself. God is the creator of the universe. He existed before. He will exist after it comes to an end. So our view of life is different than the view of man's philosophy that he has come to believe in. And it's revealed to us through God's Word. But secondly, as we think about life, and this is a subject that we have all heard about this, and yet it is so profound and deep that we can't even begin to explain it fully. But we've all heard of DNA and how that each cell of our bodies, and this is true of animal life, it's true of plant life as well, that there is DNA in the cell of everything that we see. So it's built into us, and it's referred to as the DNA code. DNA code. Now, even unbelievers recognize this, and they call it that. They refer to the DNA code. And where does ever a code exist without a designer, an intelligent someone who created it? Who created this code, this DNA code that is so complex? And in order for that to be replicated, there is the RNA. And that is, I think, maybe like a photocopier that takes the copy of the DNA and continues to replicate it. That same code throughout your body or throughout other existing things here in life. Where did that come from? And the proteins are the building blocks, and proteins are highly complex, very highly complex. There are built within them amino acids that even on a smaller level, but those are the building blocks of life here upon this world in which we live. That is calling out loudly, I believe, that there is a creator, an intelligent, a highly intelligent being who created this life that we live in. And you can look at diagrams of RNA and DNA, and maybe you can understand it better than I can, but it's very complex. And yet, everyone today acknowledges this is true of life. And that we can go and we can take blood tests and we can, based on our DNA, now we can even see maybe who was in your ancestry 500 years ago and things like that. Amazing things that are still being learned about life and about the complexity of life. But finally, as we think of man, God placing man upon this life, upon this world, and we're told in Genesis chapter 1 that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We all understand that man and woman are so far above in intelligence the animal kingdom. And we might see some of the chimpanzees or others that, yeah, they have some intelligence, and in some characteristics, maybe they have some similarity to man. But there is a huge gap between man and the animals. That is what the Scripture says, that we are created in the image of God. Man has a morality and a conscience. Man has a sense of ought or guilt of what is the right thing to do. And that sets man apart. Man has a sense of humor and laughter that is unique for man. And so we see the personality of each individual that God created. Man has a kindness, an ability about us to be self-sacrificing and caring for others in a way that sets man apart. And the intelligence that man has is so remarkable and so characteristic of man. And we see that even in sometimes the young children. Karen was saying the other day that she was spending the day with Mandy and Levi, who is 3 years old now. He's five? Levi is 5 years old. Okay, I thought he was three. Anyway, Karen was talking, and Mandy, and they were talking about vowels, you know. And Karen said, yeah, the vowels of A, E, I, O, and U. And Levi spoke up, and he says, Grammy, and sometimes Y. Here he is, 5 years old, and he already has some of that figured out. So it's amazing the intelligence that man has, the ability to communicate, the inventiveness of man, the ability to invent machines and all new types of artistic creativity, imagination, and planning. Man is unique here, as God points out. Even though the Scripture speaks about man has sinned, yet there's a glory to man that the Scriptures shows because we're made in the image of God. And I talked a few weeks ago about why life is sacred and the taking of innocent human life, like the abortion of taking the life of the child in the womb of the mother, how wrong that is. That goes back to the fact that there is a basic purpose of life that God has created. And as a result of that, our life has meaning, each one of us, because God loves us and He created us to have a relationship with Him. And yet man sometimes rejects that. That is a tragic thing that the Scripture recognizes. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, when Paul is describing the Gentile society there of his day, and he said, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Man then has a choice to acknowledge that there is God, that we are accountable to Him. He is our Creator. We will answer before Him, and that we should reach out to know Him. He cares about us. And yet, there is a choice that we can make to deny Him in spite of all the evidence. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So we understand that God has revealed Himself to us through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. That is one of the things that the Bible teaches us, is that God exists in three persons, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that they are in total unity of purpose and will, acting together for man. And that these things are revealed to us through His Spirit, that we might know God, that we might have a purpose of understanding of what His will for our lives, that He does want a relationship. He does have a purpose and a plan for us eternally if we will heed His word and respond to Him. And so this morning, I want to again emphasize that we are encouraging us and wanting to see all of us building our lives upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And by faith, we know that God created this world in which we live, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. That he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who seek Him. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to have a relationship. He gave His Son to die for us so that we can have that forgiveness and have a closeness of understanding, of knowing God and basing our lives upon His will, that we might honor and glorify Him. And as Jesus said, you're building your house on the rock. When the storm comes, it will stand. That test that is going to ultimately be for everyone in our lives. We're going to close now by singing the invitation song number 255 this morning, 255. And if you are subject this morning to the invitation of Jesus, who's inviting us to come to Him, really, throughout our lives, we're going to extend that opportunity as we stand and sing number 255.
I am resolved to no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad. Me. turn to Him.